G'day everyone and welcome to the Giddy Up Podcast, episode 5. Welcome to Tokomo's favourite son, Donny Elgin. How are you, mate?
Oh, JT. Mate, the work you've put in to get these little things all working is just second to none. I'm bloody pumped. That's how I am today.
Oh, excellent. Good to hear. Now, of course, big day on the Australian sporting calendar with the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, we did a little bit of a test early, JT. I gave the punters some mail.
We did.
And let's just say Christina Hauger and a mob at Australia Post haven't quite delivered yet on that mail. Still running. Oh, that's okay. This time next year, they'll come in. It'll be good. Everyone will be happy.
No, you'll get there eventually, mate. That's all right. It's only a horse, mate. Now, of course, Melbourne Cup does come with some pretty bad tragedies, unfortunately. And I'm going to talk about it a bit later on because it's not all champagne and races. But obviously a bit different this year with no one being able to actually go to the event itself.
Mate, what a different space it was. It was, everything you look at. Like, of course, if you're into the punt, you focus more on the odds and what's going on. But I don't think many people actually tune in for that. They're not tuning into the broadcast. They've got that information on a laptop or somewhere else and they're going to work to try and make some coin for the day. So anybody who is watching, and of course, it was so different too with Channel 10. Picking it up for those that have watched it, only watch it once a year, not having Channel 7. There were some clear differences this time around. But overall, I think in the midst of COVID and what the world's going through, the AFL put a season on, the NRL did it, and now bloody Melbourne Spring Carnival, they've done it and know that we can do it. And crowds are missed, and I'm sure they'll be back in their droves next year.
Mate, I'm sure they will. It's probably a good thing because today was one of the hottest days ever for the Melbourne Cup. Now, things get a bit messy at the best of times, so you can only imagine what it would have been like if it was everyone was down at the track. The old greens out at the birdcage would have been a bit messy, I reckon.
I tell you what, I think that would be the understatement of the planet and the fact that there'd be not a single person wearing shoes right about, 4 hours ago from now, I reckon.
Mate, very, very true. Now, we've got a cracking show, so let's just get straight into it.
Weird, wonderful, and wacky.
Lots of stuff happening around the world. Donny, what have you got for us tonight, mate? Very excited to hear this.
We touched on some things are exciting and some things are just absolute bloody devastating, JT. One thing that is exciting is when there is no hope and all of a sudden you get something awesome come from that. And I'm referring to the earthquake in Tokyo. And it was, tragic, I think it was 7.6, was it 7.6?
Yeah, exactly right.
It was a bloody big one, but there was a three-year-old girl pulled out of the rubble after 65 hours, JT. It's
bloody incredible, isn't it, eh? How many hours? 65,
yep. So hats off to the rescuers.
Bloody awesome.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if that doesn't give the spirits of anyone who's out there rescuing or think that there's hope, they say, the first 24 hours are super critical and 48, and after that you sort of start losing a bit of hope. But, mate, 65, that girl's got a story to tell for the rest of her life if she comes through this okay.
Mate, it's exactly right. Awesome. Now, of course, we did talk about Melbourne Cup, and I reckon a few bottles of wine may have gone down the hole today, mate.
Hey, JT, I had to do my very best. I did suggest that I might actually just have a shot every time I had a win. Fortunately for you, I think it's pretty easy to see. I didn't have too many wins. And I was talking, of course, of something a bit stiffer than wine. But did you know, JT, that there's 700 grapes going to making a bottle of wine?
700 grapes? You count them.
Well, not me personally, but research tells me. Right, that's a bloody lot of grapes, isn't it?
The old research, hey?
I had to take a few hits in the name of research.
Nice, mate. And who won, mate? Who give us a hot scoop? Who won the cup? If people haven't heard, seriously, they're probably living on another planet.
Well, if they haven't heard, they clearly weren't on it, JT. And so the winner was Twilight Payment. And if ever you want to feel good about putting just a couple of bucks on something and trying to get some sort of return on it, it paid very juicy odds too, up in the $20, $21 thereabouts, upwards in most tabs. So that was bloody great, right across the country. So awesome work and really, really nice to see. Really great story about that too, is Daddy O'Brien, well, the O'Brien, not bloody O'Brien, the trainer. I forgot his name off the top of my head. The Irish trainer, his son, has beaten him twice now. And it's just, that's the sort of shit that when you're sitting around, you hear those stories that fill it out, you know, that really make the Melbourne Cup. It's not, like you said, it's not just the horses going around. There is a lot more to it. There's a lot of hard luck stories. There's a lot of, you know, triumphs. And, of course, no one will ever forget the year Michelle Payne won it. I think that, for me, is still one of my favourites, you know, Prince of Pan's Am. And it was an interesting one. And, of course, today, Twilight Payment winner, and that rider will remember that for the rest of his life.
Mate, I'm sure he will. Now, I'm just going to bring it down a notch, Donnie, because, you know, I can't help myself.
No, you can't.
I love my animals, mate. And, of course, unfortunately today, like a lot of Melbourne Cups recently, a horse died today. And so as much as everyone's having a lot of celebrations, Anthony Van Dyck was put down on the track just coming into the finishing straight, which would have been in front of a grandstand of, you know, 100,000 people. And as you can see there, you can see the amount of horses have died. We've literally nearly lost a horse every single race over the last few years, and 120 horses have died on the track this year at racing. So I just want to put that up there. I know we're here to have a bit of fun, but I think it's important to note that there is a lot of fun around horse racing, and it's certainly part of our culture, but there's also a really dark side to the industry. And what's even real scary is that there's actually some horses listed that are still active that were actually died. The records for horse keeping are just appalling in this country, and that's because so much shit is hidden. So I'm hoping at some point, you know, we can clean up the industry. And look, I'd be a happy man, mate, if there was no horses running around. Donnie, I know you like a punt, so we are different different views there.
Yeah, absolutely, JT. I mean, I look at it, and from a former athlete point of view, I look at some races and just go, you know, for steeples, for the life of me, I cannot, you know, understand that as an event. I figure it's a tragedy waiting to happen. But in terms of horses, my view is they're made to run, and I'm bloody happy to have a punt on them. And of course, it is rough, you know, when of course you've got some deaths. But the other thing I'd like about this is, and I rate that there's people like you, JT, that will stand up and go, hey, hang on a minute, this bloody horse is dying. We put the spotlight on how awesome it is. The good thing is that there's also horses being really, really well looked after. And you know, if you're a horsey person, you're more likely to look after a horse than your own self a lot of the time. But unless we have these conversations and say, hey, that's not bloody good enough, what's the industry doing about it? And that's when we start to get change. So I'm not all for going, let's shut it down, but I'm all for saying, hey, let's clean it up. Let's try and protect what we can. And of course, I reckon we're kidding ourselves if we think that we haven't improved it over the years. So, I mean, 730 report come out, was it last year, and just like literally painted the worst possible picture. And of course, the zappers in that the trainer that got done for that. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in industries that you just go, that's pretty ordinary. But, you know, but the flip side is there's also some horses that are getting a lot of love because of horsey people.
All right, so I said we're going to be on different side of the fence there. I'd be very happy if there was no horse racing, full stop. And I completely agree that people love the horses, and they do get treated like royalty. You know, they do the absolute best for the horses, and you know, these horses are worth millions of dollars and huge amounts of care. But that doesn't stop the fact that, you know, that horse broke its leg today and was, you know, got a bullet in the head in front of everyone. So I think, you know, that's the reality of it. It doesn't matter how well you look after them. These horses are running at top speed. Their lungs are bleeding after runs. It's like, it's a pretty brutal sport. You know, I'm all for having a punt, you know, on a couple of humans running around and trying to kick a ball through a couple of sticks. But when it comes to animals, that's probably where I draw the line. Now, we do want to cover off a couple of in this segment because it is weird, wacky and wonderful, Donnie. Now, yes. You've probably heard this saying. In fact, knowing you, Donnie, you probably said this saying plenty of times yourself, mate. But, you know, the old ants in pants.
Ants in your pants. I have heard about ants in your pants, JT. What's, like, you're coming at me like that's a bad thing. All of a sudden you want to protect ants. What's going on?
Look, I've got to say, I'm probably not a big fan for ants out of all the animals. But, mate, how's this? There was a girl in India, mate. It's a legit true story. That she was having sort of a bit of pain in her ear. So she's gone to the hospital and they found ants inside her ear canal, Don.
JT, I'll tell you what, like I go camping a fair bit and I must admit, it's not too many times that I don't think to myself, I've probably swallowed a few insects and stuff like that. But buddy, when an ant makes it into your ear, like, how far can it go? Surely you can only get to the eardrums. Go, well, this is a dead end. Let's
this seems to be a bit of a rare case, Don. They've found over 1,000 ants living in her head. They've removed, a thousand ants from her head. I know this is bloody incredible, but that's the whole idea. She made 100% alive. And anyway, you wouldn't believe it, Don.
You haven't got footage. Well, mate, what am I saying? You haven't got bloody
have footage. I had to find footage of this because I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. Is this true? This would be, mate, check this out.
There's the ER. What are we seeing here?
And there we go. Look, they are pulling out an ant. Right. Yeah, you come, my little
looks
man.
Looks like they've gone past one too by the looks of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
There goes one.
Oh, you wouldn't want it to start.
Now the ants were dead, which is really weird.
Oh, the ants are
so
dead.
they thought that they were breeding inside, but they tried everything. Like literally had, you know, as you can see, they were talking surgery here. So they did everything, and they did a normal scan. They did MRI, CT scans, everything, and nothing was coming up. And so it was bizarre. But anyway, look, good news, because we want to make sure we leave people with good news, Donnie, is that 6 months later, they've all gone.
What? The lot?
Yeah, gone.
They got them all?
Yeah, gone.
After 6 months, JT?
Yeah, 6 months, but all gone, and life is back to normal. So the 12-year-old little girl, Shreya Darji, happy days.
Oh, I tell you what, mate. Wonder if she was hearing, like, sounds in her ears when the ants... When the ants go marching in.
Oh, dear idea.
Oh, mate, you try and tell your mum, I can hear this. Like, sounds like an ant talk going on.
I know, it's bizarre, right? It's bizarre. Now, we're sort of sticking on an animal theme here, Don, but, you know, we all love dogs, right? I mean, who doesn't love a beautiful, happy dog,
well, there's
right?
a few real dog lovers amongst us, JT. Yes, there is.
And, well, tell you what, there's a dog. And they're known for being man's best friend, right? Let's be honest.
Yes.
And sometimes true. They've got special talents. You know, we've got guide dogs that help humans, you know, to help get across and navigate through the streets. We've got drug dogs at the airport that sniff out the drugs. We've got police dogs that, you know, protect the community. You name it, mate. Dogs have got
companion
jobs.
Companion
dogs, exactly right.
Police
so,
dogs, yeah. What else you got? Well, surely man, that's about the extent of it.
Well, how about this? There's a little dog called Kiko, Donnie.
Cute name,
I would have thought. Well, the owner's got a very strong bond with Kiko, as people do have strong bonds with their dogs, Donnie.
Sounds
and, well, let's just say that Jerry, the man who in question here, he just woke up one night, late in July this was, and anyway, he looked down at his foot and noticed it was a little bit wet, Don.
Bloody Coco hasn't pissed on his foot.
Well, that would have been nice if that's all Coco did. But when he looked down, mate, there was a lot of blood on the bed. The wetness was the blood. And there was the dog just looking back at him with the blood all over its face. It's had a bit of a munch on one of his toes, Donnie.
Oh, it was his toe.
Yeah, it's just decided that, you know what, this off with the toe. I've had enough of that. Now, I know everyone's probably going, that's really gross and that's horrible and what sort of a dog would do that to their owner? But there's a silver lining to this story, Don.
What is it, JT?
Well, you see, he was actually, he'd been having a little bit of trouble with type 2 diabetes. Now, I don't know if you know much about type 2 diabetes, but it affects a lot of circulation. And this guy, he actually had a very badly infected toe. And so what's happened is the dog has actually realized that this is a pretty serious infection, and he's actually bitten off the infected part of the skin. He didn't bite the bone off or anything like that. He just removed the infected part of his toe. The dog was actually trying to help him. And anyway, as a result of that, obviously we're seeing the blood and everything. His wife's taking him off to hospital. And gets to hospital and they end up amputating the rest of the foot. It was really badly infected. But the dog wasn't trying to do anything wrong. He just chewed off the infected part and stopped at the good bone.
So, JT, what I want to know is, does this dog get a doctorate? That's a pretty smart dog.
That's what I would have thought. So there you go. There's another little bow that you could add to smart dogs, right?
I tell you what, when I have bad leg days, like in today's one of them, I think to myself, I was glad I was born without one, JT. It wasn't the dog munching.
Well, that's exactly right.
Mate, that's nuts. Hey, I tell you what, JT, we can't go too far. I've got to point out a couple of really important things that are happening.
True.
One, it's Movember.
It is, mate.
And we know a lot of things happen in November.
True.
And one of them is Movember, JT. Mm. Now, I've put my hand up, along with a couple of other good humans, to get involved with Movember.
Mm.
Now, JT, the word that the first thing most people have said to me is, JT, are you going to do this? And I said, I don't know, I'll ask him on the podcast. So, mate, tell me, are you interested in growing a mo to help men's health, help the conversations? Because you're very good like that. What do you reckon? The male model with a mo?
Yeah, not a hope in hell. I've actually got a couple of – look, I probably could, to be honest, but I've got a couple of speaking engagements that are fairly big coming up in the next few weeks, and I feel like they're paying me good money and I probably should look pretty presentable. So,
well, you do look presentable, Jake. There's no question about that, mate. You are the male model out of the two of us.
So I'm going to leave that to – I'm going to leave that to you, Donnie, to carry the torch. You definitely going?
I'm going to grow my mate. Actually, I'm happy to take it from the listeners that are out there in listener world now. If you want to write in and tell me what type of mo, because I can pretty much grow mo like after five. it's not. So let me know what type I should grow, and I'll grow a mo of that flavour. So whether it's a handlebars, I'm probably not going to do the Hitler. That's probably fair call. But any others, I'm happy to entertain.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. Now, while we're on people reminding things, Donnie, I forgot to say something at the start of the show that was incredibly important.
What is it, mate? What is it?
Mate, code word. How do people win prizes, Don?
What sort of prize they want to win tonight?
Well, we've got a $150 tradie.com voucher, Don.
Oh, okay. So how about... So what happens, when do they get that, JT, remind me, well, with that code word, is it?
Yeah, you just tell us the code word, and when you drop it into a conversation, Don, the people have got 10 minutes to comment in, put the code word in the comments, and everyone goes into the draw, we spin it at the end of the show, they win a $150 voucher.
Okay, well, the code word tonight, JT, from one of our three government officials is frangipani.
Frangipani?
Yeah.
Fantastic. How are we going to fit that in? God only knows.
I'm going to have my bloody three COVID, my three government officials whacked if they keep giving me words.
All right, so anyway, there you go. The code word for tonight is frangipani. So as soon as you hear the word frangipani, you've got 10 minutes. That's it. So I don't stuff it up. So you've only got 10 minutes, short window. Get it in. And anyone who comments goes into the draw, and we'll draw that at the end of the show. Now, Donnie.
On the big wheel, JT.
On the big wheel, live on the big wheel.
Oh, I love it. I love the wheel.
It's big cool wheel is fun, isn't it? Now, mate, we know how you know, you go on holidays and you stay at nice fancy hotels and you go, oh, that was pretty good fancy. And you know, and sometimes you take it upon yourself that, you know, you stay at a hotel not so good, you go, you know what? I'll just leave a bit of a review here, give people a heads up. Sites like TripAdvisor, all those sorts of things. Yeah, you travel a lot.
The right thing to do is, yeah, that's right. And honestly, often I go to those reviews and I'll check it. If I'm going to a place I haven't been before, I don't mind getting the drum from, because people, you can't go wrong, can you? Someone's going to leave a review typically because that's how they're feeling, pretty honest. So reviews, in my opinion, have got a place, JT. What have you noticed about reviews?
No, look, I agree. I think they definitely say have a purpose in life. And but Donnie, sometimes things go a little bit too far.
Oh, someone's got a bit filthy.
Someone with a US man was having a holiday in Thailand, lucky bugger, and he wrote a negative hotel. Wasn't too happy with a few things that happened. And anyway, he was arrested, Donnie, and was facing legal action and jail time.
What? Hotel got police?
Police. For anti-defamation laws. Because he
Of course.
He went to town, basically. He wasn't happy. And he wrote not just one review, Donnie. He wrote several reviews. And we managed to get our hands on a review, of course. Here we go.
Of course we did, mate.
So there you go. Here's one of his reviews. So hopefully everyone can read that. But headline of unfriendly staff and horrible restaurant manager. Anyway, what it turns out to is apparently he just got into an argument over staff. He wanted to bring his own bottle of alcohol while he was dying in the restaurant, and they said, "No, sorry, mate, it's not it's not BYO, buddy." Yeah, and anyway, he caused a bit of commotion, refused to pay any corkage fee. But even then, the manager still actually said, "Mate, that's a cool. We'll waive the corkage fee for you." They tried to do the right thing. And so anyway, he just wasn't happy, so he's just gone nuts and writing all these reviews and charged with defamation now because they were false. It was all bullshit. And
Well, if they honestly, JT, I think bloody good on Thailand police, and because it gives you the shits that somebody can just come on and just write a bad review because they've had a bad day, and decide that, you know, they're going to bring someone down, or worse still, it's a competitor and they're deliberately trying to sabotage someone. So I think it's about bloody time society got accountable for the shit they write, because there is too many keyboard warriors.
Yeah, no, mate, I'm with you. I'm all for it. By all means, leave an honest review, but if you're stretching the truth a little bit and hurting another business in the process, no, you should be bloody held accountable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a fair review, spot on, JT. If they're crap, they need to own that. But if you're bullshitting, well, sucked in.
Exactly right. Now, I also want to share something I think he's just gone in the weird, not weird, it's a wonderful category, I should say. It's wonderful.
Oh, okay.
We've had a big discovery. Right. This is in Australia. Mm-hmm. They have just found a huge reef. Now, it's slightly just outside the Great Barrier Reef, but it's basically like an underwater mountain. It rises more than 500 metres tall. So that's 200 metres higher than the Eiffel Tower. It's a massive mountain, and it's coral.
How do we just find this, JT? Like, it's, we can put someone on the moon, we can't find what's in our own backyard.
It's very true, and a lot of our oceans haven't been fully mapped. And this, because this was just outside of the reef area, which mostly has been mapped, it was just never picked up. And anyway, they did this stuff, and I've got a bit of footage. I'm going to share this video with you
because it was pretty
awesome.
And so on the 20th of October, we came across this very tall reef. It's a 500-metre tall reef sitting on an extended ledge that extends out underneath the Great Barrier Reef. It's what we call the detached reef. Yeah. There are seven other detached reefs in the area. And as far as we know, this is the first new 500-metre tall reef discovered in the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park in at least 120 years.
How's that, Donnie?
Well, isn't that just the sea floor, JT? Like, tell me, like, you've got coral, you grow it, and you know this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Me, I just go, yeah, it's in the ocean. You know, I'm missing bits. I'm not needing to rush out there. But so I don't really pay a great deal of attention, but I would have just thought that's the seafloor. Like, tell me the difference.
No. So you've got your normal seafloor, which is typically sand, right? But what this is coral is a living organism, and over years it builds upon itself. It's a skeleton, effectively. And so what this was a 500-metre mountain, basically, of just coral that is literally millions of years, has built up over millions of years. And as I said, 500 metres from the bottom of that ocean floor, it's just a tower, just one big tower.
So how deep's the ocean floor then? Like, well, that's just
about 540 metres, because that mountain stops about 40 metres below the surface.
Holy
so half
crap.
A kilometre and deep in that section.
So tell me, JT, if humans stay away from this and don't trash it like we tend to do to most other things on the planet, will is there a chance that'll just grow out, or does the reef not grow out of water?
No, exactly. Assuming all the conditions and everything are fine, that will just continue to grow. It just builds upon itself, and eventually it'll reach, you know, surface height. Now, of course, with global warming and the temperatures of the ocean going up, coral are very susceptible to heat, and so that's what's killing a lot of our coral. So, but amazing discovery, I thought. So pretty happy to share that one with you.
Mate, that is crazy. That is, I tell you what, we have got a fascinating world, and we have honestly, surely we've only just scratched the surface of it.
Mate, it's exactly right. And well, speaking of that, I wanted to share another amazing discovery. Now, these are called the Nazca lines. Donnie, have you ever heard of the Nazca lines?
Nazca, yeah, that's where you take the lines when you're driving.
Not quite Nazca, it's Nazca, N-A-Z-C-A, Nazca lines. And I'm going to show a little bit of footage for you, and I'm just going to explain it. But have a look at this, mate. This is a cat, a carving of a cat on a hillside in southern Peru. It was only discovered last week. Now, basically, what you're looking at there is a cat, obviously on the side of a mountain, mate. And what that was, it was actually only discovered last week, believe it or not, on a hillside in southern Peru. And there's lots of these, and these Nazca lines, you can see all these geographical shapes are just carved into the earth. And they've been around, they think they're between 500 to 100 BC. So we're talking a couple of thousand, 2,500 years old. And you can look at the accuracy in those straight lines. So it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And the purpose of the lines is really still a mystery. No one really knows. They think it might have been messages from the gods. Some think it was for astronomical purposes. Some think they were made by aliens. We don't really know. But it was just a fascinating discovery. There are hundreds of them in that area. But this cat had just never been found before.
Well, cats are like that. We let our cat out and we have to wait hours sometimes for it to come home. So I'm not surprised. Now, tell me, JT, how big are they? Like, in the scheme of things, that looked like something I could just draw on a piece of paper. Like, give me a bit of size about this thing.
So that cat is 37 metres wide.
holy crap.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my house.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty big one.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
That's I must admit, JT, I will now have to do some research on NASCAR, not quite the car, but, you know, the lines, mate. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's what I just thought we'd share that with our listeners. I was pretty amazed. And the fact that they're still finding stuff even after all this time, again, just goes, we're still learning so much about this planet, right?
It's a big show, JT. You're finding new reefs, mountains under there. You're finding cats drawn on the, above the surface. There's nothing you can't find, mate, with all this technology.
Well, that's enough of that segment. But you know what? We've got another segment, Donnie.
Of course we have.
Geek of the Week.
Oh, we love a bit of geek JT, stuff.
Before you get started, I just have to say, get stuffed.
Okay.
I've spent the last 3 days deleting photos of screenshots from my phone that I accidentally took from our last episode. Everything's a bloody screenshot now. Oh, it's fantastic. What do you got for me this week?
Oh, well, mate, a couple of things I wanted to run past everyone today is one is, well, if you're in the gaming, you would have, you know, you'd be living under a rock, mate, if you hadn't heard that the new PlayStation and the new Xbox have recently been released.
Yep, okay. If you're into gaming. Yeah, yeah. I'm into it because I see it on my invoice and my boy and my kids are into gaming.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So anyway, the Xbox has been sort of loosely being called the fridge because it's sort of tall and looks a little bit like a fridge. So anyway, Xbox have decided to run with that and they've actually built a fridge.
Of course.
Yeah, they'll build an Xbox fridge.
Have they not heard of Fisher and Paykar and bloody all that other mob that make fridges already?
Old school, mate. They're going to do it themselves. And, well, if I said to you, think of a food delivery service right now with a catchy song, Don, what would you think of?
Uber is up there, surely.
Not food Uber. Delivery. Maybe their opposition, mate. Come on, anyone got that with me?
Is that like Hello Fresh?
Oh, Jesus, mate.
JT, I cook. I don't order food anymore.
Snoop Dogg, buddy. Snoop Dogg, get with it. Oh, come on, what's he singing? What's his song? Menu Log. There we go. Log. Yeah. Oh, geez, it took a while to get there. Sorry, that's all we've got time for tonight. Thanks for watching. Well, anyway, obviously Snoop Dogg's currency is pretty high at the moment. So the trick is get Snoop involved in stuff, right? Get him involved.
It's not just his currency that's pretty bloody high, James. It's the dog himself. Mate,
that's very, very true. So anyway, Xbox, they've made this Microsoft, who own Xbox, they've made this fridge. And, well, what would they do? Of course, Snoop Dogg had a birthday, so what the hell? Let's send him the fridge.
Please believe it when I tell you this, the Series X fridge by Xbox. Let's go.
There you go, mate. You putting yourself down for an order?
What do they retail for, JT?
I can't actually find the price, to be honest, but and I wasn't sure if they're actually taking the piss or not, but it is actually real. I did research it, and they are actually auctioning. They've got a prize for a bit of a competition for people to send in to win the fridge. So
do you play the fridge? Like, do you plug it in and it's a game?
No, it's literally just a fridge. It's just got the Xbox symbol on it and the green light, which is, you know, Xbox, and that's about it. So it's pretty much just a fridge.
Okay. Well, probably wasted on me, Jack. Buddy, Billy Chili did love it, though.
Billy, mate, he's commenting away. He reckons it's awesome. So there you go. It's
probably trying to get one of those prizes.
That's probably true. Because the best comment. Now, I'm going to be picking the best comment tonight. Dan's off celebrating the horses or doing something with his life. So it's up to me. I've got the job. So best comment.
We're lying. He's stuck in the cave, isn't he? He's got no bloody internet down there.
You're probably right. Still trying to get a live signal. Now I want to talk to you about artificial intelligence. We're still in the geeky section, Don. There are jobs under threat. There's no doubt artificial intelligence is here. It's already arrived. And so I just wanted to give people a bit of a heads up. Just going, hey, these are some of the things that you should be looking for. So
don't have it on your resume. Look for these jobs.
Transportation. Let's cover off transportation. Now, we've already got self-driving vehicles. That's already happening. And that's only going to get more. So I think, you know, people that drive taxis, for example, once we got 20 years down the track, we're going to have self-driving taxis. We don't need bloody people driving them. Computers will do it. So
you reckon that'll wipe out Uber as well? Like the
Could be. You'll have automated Ubers instead of actually a driver driving your Uber. So there's no doubt that transport is going to see some change. AI is also helping with traffic congestion, and that's something that, God, I don't know about you, but nothing drives me nuts more than traffic congestion. But where AI is really starting to help is it can actually work out real time. So it can actually change light sequences and stuff and say, oh, we're a bit banked up here. We'll open that green a little bit longer. Oh, we'll pull that one back. And all that can just happen using AI instead of, at the moment, it's pretty much on a stuck 30-second, you know, cycle or a 2-minute cycle, and actually do it in real time. And not only does that, you know, save congestion, it saves people time, it's good for the environment, etc. So we're going to see a lot of that sort of stuff starting to come through. So there's one example of how AI is going to help, Don.
Righto.
Guess what?
Less traffic, it's a good thing.
It's a good one. Now, another one, this is a weird one, job interviewers. So obviously recruitment agencies do a lot of recruitment, and typically that's part of a process when you're going for a job. But what they're suggesting is that AI might start doing that because it can analyze your face, your voice, and your answers. And depending on all of that, it can go do all its algorithms and go, yep, you got the job or not.
Oh, turn it up. That's, you know what, is that, like, I get there's a space to replace people in some cases, but... Well, if you're going for the job and that's what you've got to go through, then that's what you've got to go through.
Could be the brave new world that we're living in. And farming is another one that's going to be impacted. Now, again, we've got machines that can actually just go and do everything, and they can tap into the weather and know the right time to harvest and pick and crop and all that sort of stuff. So there's certainly going to be a change in farming and even law enforcement. We're already seeing now that the number plate scanners, you see the little bloody things on the side of the road. They're looking for cars that have got outstanding bloody, registration payments and all that sort of stuff. So we really do think that AI is going to start changing the world. And as I said, it's already in business. You're probably already using chatbots if you've tried customer service in my world. They're very AI-driven. Most of them are still pretty crap at the moment, but the technology is getting better all the time, and the chatbots are getting smarter because they learn. And give it fast forward 5 years. You're going to have some pretty amazing customer experiences all driven on artificial intelligence.
JT, is it possible that there might be an artificial Donnie and an artificial JT doing this podcast?
Well, they've already got them, mate.
What we're thinking?
They've already got the deep fakes now. And I don't know if you've seen already, but there's footage of Obama and all these sorts of stuff. And you would swear black and blue that it's actually Obama speaking, and it's completely fake. And honestly,
those holograms and stuff.
Yeah, but they're called deep fakes. And it's literally, it would look exactly like we are right now and sound exactly like, but the whole thing is it's all computer generated, and you can make me or you or Obama say whatever you like. And I think that's a scary world that we're heading into, because it is... we're getting to the point where it is so real, you literally can't tell the difference between the real Obama and the fake Obama. And so you can imagine the false information and all that sort of stuff that could easily be spread.
Any chance we can get a fake Trumpy?
We may already have one. God, who bloody knows? I do want to finish off this segment on just something that I wanted to give people some good news.
This is
bloody good, because, mate, what's one of the major reasons for relationships getting a little bit frosty is lack of sleep, Donnie. What causes lack of sleep, Donnie?
Well,
no.
I've got a list of a few things. I reckon snoring's got to be up there, financial worries. Stop me after you, like when you find the spot, JT. There's a lot of babies. I've always struggled to be in the room with a snorer.
Boom, there you go, Donnie. I was hoping you were going to say snoring. So one of the things that drives people nuts is snoring.
Yeah.
And, well, guess what? Scientists, mate, have come to the rescue.
What have they done? They're going to take the snore out of the room while you're sleeping?
No, they've got a pill.
Of course, God. What's it do, JT?
Mate, you just take the pill, and it has been shown to reduce snoring frequency by 74%.
It's not euthanasia, is it, Jason?
No. The pill is it's codenamed AD-109, and it's found that it basically combines two drugs. And what it's done is not only has it reduced snoring, it's also increased the patient's blood oxygen levels. So it is now undergoing trials. They've been doing it for 2 years. So it's under trials in the United States. Obviously, got to test it, like all medical drugs. But look out, mate. If snoring's an issue, it might be soon as simple as popping a pill.
JT, I'll tell you what, I don't care how much testing they do until they try it on a bloke who's had way too many frothies, because that typically invokes the snore, then the pill won't work. But if it does, I'll tell you what, that's a game changer, mate. People will be staying married longer and happier.
Everyone wins.
Good find, JP.
You bloody ripper.
Oh, now, we like talking about pretty exciting things, Donnie. What do you got that just got you pumped?
Mate, I'll tell you what got me pumped is I think we are up to number four, JT, 4 zeros in a row for COVID cases. This is bloody exciting. So I've got a mum who lives up the bush. I'm hanging to get up there and give her a big squeeze. And I've got a sister over the border. I won't be giving no one no squeezes until we get out of lockdown. But I tell you what, we're not going to get out while we're still at high numbers. The fact that they're so low, this is bloody awesome, JT.
And it is fantastic news. And I'm really excited because the one thing that really still shits me at the moment, aside from the 25Ks and all that stuff, which hopefully gets dropped on Sunday for everyone living in Victoria, is wearing the mask, especially when we've had a couple of hot days, right? And I went for a nice walk down the beach and you're like, this is not fun. But the chief medical health officer, you know, Mr. Male Model himself, Sutton, he's come out and said if we can get down to an average of zero, bang, no need for masks. So 4 days in, come on, Melbourne, we can do it. If you're feeling a little bit sick, not well, don't go and get bloody tested and wreck it for everyone. Just stay home.
Come on, Trumpy.
Stay home.
He's rubbing off on you.
Oh, mate, it's terrible, isn't it? Now, of course, the other bit of good news, mate, is interest rates, Donnie.
Oh, mate, I'll tell you what, JT. We all think that I hang out for the first Tuesday in November just for Cup Day. That is not quite true. I also have a listen out because the Reserve Bank meet and they always come out with some sort of change that affects a whole lot of people, particularly with mortgages. JT, world record for Australia, the lowest interest rates we've ever had. Bloody good is
it? What are we at? What's the new rate?
0.0 stuff all, JT. It's so little.
You don't know, do you?
No, but it's under one. Like, it's one-ish. Seriously, what I can bank on is if you've got a mortgage, and as long as the banks pass this on, that's the key. This is the rate that we can borrow money for. Mm-hmm. So the banks have got to pass that on. But the flip side to that, JT, Einstein said it, every action has an equally opposite reaction. Mate, the sad thing is, if you're banking on your interest, self-managed super funds and self-managed retirees, you're going to get even less money in your pocket. That's a bastard.
That is good. It's 0.1 of 1%, practically zero. And the Reserve Bank said today that they expect it will not rise for about 3 years.
So what I hear there is go and mortgage yourself to the eyeballs. That's what it tells me. Because seriously, and lock it in. Like, I ain't no money whisperer, but common sense says, mate, ask your parents. They would have been paying 15% at some stage and they would look at this and go, you kids don't know how bloody good you got it. So, yep.
Well, we will be hearing from the Money Whisperer later. He's got a couple of hot tips for us again today. Looking forward to that one. Now, our next segment, Donnie, this is the one where I always get a little bit nervous. I have one hand on the moderator button, and this is where we just let you just talk about whatever you like. So. Yeah. Donnie's pick of the week.
So, JT, I sort of knew that you'd be devoed, and rightly so, with the unfortunate happenings at the Melbourne Cup today. But I didn't want to get away from that in this segment. Now, I know we've talked about some risque sort of, tingly hand sanitizer going to school and mummy's toys being taken out by the dog for a walk down the street in previous weeks. But today, JT, I want to zoom in. You and your gadgets, you're worse than anyone. Hey, I want to zoom in on the race that stops the nation, because everyone just, even as a kid growing up at Toke Public School, we got to stop and watch the race. You know, it's a bloody exciting day, no matter where you are, and it truly does stop the nation. But I wanted just to give a few little fun facts about it. The first Melbourne Cup was run on Tuesday, 1875, JT.
That's a while ago.
That's a bloody long time ago, JT. There's only ever been 6 greys to win the race. So grey horses, typically they're good in the wet, but Sub-Zero is our most famous grey.
Yes,
fashions on the field. Now, that seems like we can't go anywhere without fashions. We think it's part of our DNA now to have fashions and red carpets and stuff, which reminds me, Midgie was watching the mounting yard today and she goes, oh, look, Dad, they got red carpet for the horses. I said, well, that's the mounting yard, mate. I'm like, how you roll?
And the fashion's not lost on us, Don, as you can tell by our attire tonight, mate. We are always right up there with it.
We've really dressed up for tonight, Judge. It's bloody hot.
It is bloody warm.
Like us. dress practically. That's what we've done.
That's right.
1962, JT, that was the first fashions on the field. Now, I want to, a few people suggested to me, Don, you probably could have got more out of your career if you actually had a run faster, right? And it's a fair point.
Yeah.
Did you know that Kingston Rule, 1993, won the Melbourne Cup in a time of 3 minutes and 3 minutes, 16.30 seconds, and it's still the current Melbourne Cup record, JT.
That's kind of incredible, isn't it? You think 27 years ago, the fastest race time, given the advances we've had in veterinary science and, yeah, and you know, supplements and all the usual sort of stuff, that, that yeah, 27 years ago was still the fastest race ever.
And just quietly, JT, a lot of those advances you talk about are actually illegal. So
that's maybe that's why.
So the animals haven't really evolved. Like, we talk about humans evolving and, you know, you watched, you said you wouldn't mind punting on a couple of guys kicking a footy or whatever. But even at the Olympics, we thought that you had to be, you know, in the days when Frankie Fredericks was winning the Olympics, you had to be a little tiny light thing. And then, of course, you had Usain Bolt, 6 foot something, you know, change the dynamics. Michael Johnson changed the dynamics of the 400 meter running. So things are changing. But what's really interesting is that the horses really haven't changed a great deal. I want to just touch on a couple of multiple winners, JT. Archer, Peter Pan, Rain Lover, Think Big. Think Big, 74 and 75. I was born in 75, JT. So Think Big, that's what I've always done based on that horse winning the cup. But, of course, Maccabi Diva, mate. You 2003, 4 and 5. And, of course, seeing the great horse there today, that was bloody fantastic. So Bart Cummings, the most successful trainer the Melbourne Cup has ever seen, has had 12 winners, JT. Wow, there was a time there, whenever Bart had a horse in the race, you just body backed it. You were more likely to win than lose any time that Bart had a horse in the race. So that's very impressive. And, mate, I want to hit you with this one. I'm going to wrap up with this. The youngest jockey, JT. How old do you reckon the youngest jockey was?
I want to guess and say 16.
No. Nah.
Because they're pretty, they're pretty small, obviously, so they start relatively young, I would have thought.
Yeah, well, they're doing track work and they're around horses and learning the trade for a long time, but they're not actually getting a gig in the big race because
right,
they haven't got good enough yet. So fair that's enough, what yeah, takes them time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, one of the challenges with jockeys as they get older is they typically get heavier. So it's a real, you know, some people grow out of the art of being a jockey, unfortunately for them. But what if I told you that a jockey was aged 12 years, 11 months, and 23 days old, JT.
Bloody
hell. The youngest jockey to win, and that is just bloody incredible. So you think about what you were doing at 12 years of age. No, actually, don't talk about that, JT.
But, it's a G-rated show.
That's right. I'm going to close on this final one, JT. The smallest cup field for the Melbourne Cup has ever been was in 1963, and there were 7 starters.
7.
And the largest cup field was 39, and that was in 1890. Oh, every yeah, man and his dog turned up, and some of the dogs probably ran in it. 39's a lot. But now it's capped at 24. And even if one gets scratched, they don't replace it. There's no emergencies. There's only 24. So, of course, in today's race, one got scratched. There was only 23 in it. So, Mike, there you go.
Very well done, Donnie. Kept it clean. It was, no dramas whatsoever. That was a great segment. And how old was
I'm
that?
I'm saving my good stuff for next.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there's something still to come a bit later, though. It's, all right. Well, you know, of course, you've had your go. Now it's my turn.
JT's Pick of the Week.
Now, Don, I'm on the animal bandwagon again.
You do love the animals.
But this one really, really surprised me. And I've got to admit, I'm pretty close to what goes on in animal stuff. And I didn't have a clue about this. And what amazed me even more was that I was actually contributing to it. And
this will be good.
So I actually want to bring this to everyone's attention. I'm just going to play a short little video, which I think will just set the scene. It is quite distressing, the footage, but nothing too crazy. Okay. There's no blood or guts or anything like that, but it'll just set the scene for you.
As you watch this, enslaved monkeys are suffering. This is the dark side of Thailand's coconut industry. Monkeys like Kulap are abducted from their homes in nature, where they live in large social groups. They're kept chained and isolated on barren, dirty farms with very little opportunity to interact with other monkeys. Many go insane. These intelligent social animals are treated like coconut picking machines.
So what you're seeing in that video, mate, is as you can see, they basically chain up monkeys and they just let them out. They're still chained. They're on a cable and they let them out and they go and pick all the coconuts for them. And a monkey does about 400 coconuts a day. And once they've done their day's work, they stuff them back in a cage and process repeats itself the next day. So obviously a horrendous life for monkeys that are very social animals, etc. And the reason I wanted to bring it to your attention is because, look, I love my Thai food. I've done a couple of Thai cooking courses and, it wouldn't be a week go by that I don't actually do some Thai meals. And a big part of that is coconut milk or coconut cream is a big ingredient. Mm. And anyway, Peter, who do a lot of these investigations into animal cruelty, have issued a list of brands that don't use monkey labour. And it just so happens that there are a couple of brands that Coles and Woolworths both stock that are listed on that site, which is a good thing. It means they don't contribute. So if you ever see the AYAM, A-Y-A-M, and Trident, which are common brands in Woolworths and Coles, both are all good. But there are some brands that are also in Coles and Woolworths that do use monkey labour to get their coconuts. So if you're disturbed by seeing that footage, it's just as simple as you just going, you know what, don't go and buy these brands. And I'm just going to put them up on your screen for you right now. They're the three. And anyone who's gone shopping and bought, you know, coconut milk or coconut cream would recognise those brands. And so I just wanted to, make sure you guys are looking out for that Pandaroo TCC and Woolworths Essentials. Make sure you stay away from it and you won't be making all those poor little monkeys do all that horrible work.
So, JT, now on that too, like I look at things and go, you know, we talk about advances in life and what we see. Surely if a monkey is so well body equipped to be able to go and get a coconut off a tree, surely that's we could train them up and do it in a humane way. That seems like a logical fit.
Yeah, but I think what you'll probably find is, yeah, absolutely, that's what they're designed to do it, right? And they're obviously very good at going and getting coconuts and eating. And the problem is that they're also very social. And I suspect, dare say, like any animals, that if you want them to go and get 400 coconuts a day for you, they're not going to do that because they're going to stop and they're going to chat and they're going to talk to their mates and then they're going to go and hang out and do stuff like we do. And so the reality is they have to force them into slave labour effectively. They're chained. They're kept separate. And so I don't know if there is that happy medium. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, if you could just say, hey guys, you know, get out there and do what you got to do, come back, have lunch, have a smoko, we'll look after you, give you a few good bananas, but that's unfortunately not how it bloody works.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, isn't it, mate? You look at the world and you think that that we've got it together, you know, us as in humans at the top of the food chain. You think that we would take it upon ourselves to look after the population of animals, the ones, I mean, we put things into extinction. So this is bloody great, JT. It's glad that you're such the animal lover that you are, because often the news that I hear from Peter is that they, they create a storm, whereas what you do is you put a case forward and you actually, you give it the credit that it deserves. You tell the story in a meaningful, understanding way, and it helps people buy into it as opposed to going, you know what, this is a storm in a teacup, which clearly this isn't. So good on you, mate.
No, look, I'm with you. I think Peter way too extreme and often, you know, lose the message in the process. But I think, you know, like all things, just let people make their own decisions. But I think if you're informed, you can make your own decisions. And hopefully now, if you next time you're at Coles or Woolworths and you see those brands, steer clear and buy AOM or one of the other ones that we flicked up. Now, Donnie, we're going to talk about a favourite topic here, and it's about pizza, but it's coming to our bizarre news story section.
Bizarre news stories.
That is a bloody extreme stinger, JT.
Yeah.
I like it. Mate, I'll tell you why. The reason we're talking about pizzas, JT, is because, you know, we think, oh, pizzas, and you get them sort of, they've come maybe from Italy or wherever, and we know what to get. You know, an Aussie has an egg on it and a bit of ham and bacon and so on. Mm-hmm. But there's some really weird shit pizzas out there in the world, JT. And I wanted to put it to you and say, mate, for a start, I'm going to throw a couple at you. I want to find out, one, whether you've had this type of pizza, and I'll let you know where it's popular as well.
All right.
First, we'll start with tandoori chicken.
Mate,
have you had a tandoori chicken pizza?
I literally would have a tandoori chicken pizza at least once a fortnight, make it at home, and a bit of spinach leaves, some tandoori chicken, bit of cheese, mate, job done, bit of yogurt oats sprinkled over the top. Delicious. One of my favourite pizzas.
Massive in India, that one, JT. Correct. No surprise there, the tandoori pizza. Buddy. Anyway, well done. All right. Shawarma.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, like Parma, Parmies. I call them Shawarmies.
Shawarmies, all right. Shawarma pizza.
Tell me about that one, JT. Middle Eastern delicacy, that one.
Yeah. No, look, well, mate, it's like going to get your souvlaki or your gyros if you're Greek. But basically, it's just that thinly sliced meat and then just cooking it and bang and just throwing it on a pizza. So it's really just a meat lover's pizza, really.
Just with a fancy name.
Yeah, that's right. Here you go. Here's a shot. Here's a footage of a shawarma pizza, but looks pretty tame to me.
JT, I'm throwing that one at you because the other night I had a souvlaki pizza.
There you go.
And I kid you not, never thought I'd eat a pizza that had bloody lettuce on top of it. But I kid you not, mate, this thing was the bomb. So that was good. What about, JT, what about when you cut a lap around the planet and you go to England, you have a big brekkie, mate, the full English breakfast.
What the hell's on a full, what's that?
Sausages, tomato, bacons, everything, bloody baked beans, the lot. Stick that on a pizza, JT. Yep. You had one of those?
Mate, I have no, and nor will I ever. Looks disgusting. Well, mate,
you've got to get out more. I tell you what, that would rip through you, that one, I reckon. The baked beans. That's probably what Warney lived on when he was playing England, the Ashes. What about a squid pizza, JT? You had a squid pizza?
No, don't like squid at all. And combining that with the pizza, no, that's a no from me.
Righto, fair call. And I can't say that I'm a big fan of the old seafoody smell. No, not for me either. Righto, kangaroo, something a bit closer to home, JT?
Have not had a kangaroo pizza, but again, I guess it's just like having a meat pizza really, isn't it?
Well, I suppose, unless you're Skippy, you've probably got no issues. But yes, mate, that's one. And what about is it a mokba pizza, JT? Now, you know this one better than I do. It's a Russian number.
Mm-mm.
Have you had one of those before? I haven't. I was a bit like...
Nah, I've got to say no. And basically what it is it's sprinkled with sardines, tuna, mackerel and salmon and has some onions. Very popular in Russia. But yeah, again, that's a hard no from me.
Yeah, you can see why Russians are really angry people, can't you? That's the shit they're serving up on pizza. JT, here's something. We're talking about the little mates, the monkeys before.
Mm-hmm.
What about banana curry pizza, JT?
Yeah, massive, very popular dish in Sweden. So basically, look at that. Just it's a pizza topped with ham, curry powder, cheese, and of course, banana.
Mate, JT, I have been to a little place called Warwicknabeal. I have a bit of an interest up there. I was up there. I was in the fish and chip shop. I looked up on the scoreboard and it had pizza list, had banana on it. I bloody bought one because I thought, holy shit, I've never had banana. The whole tribe had a bite. They all bloody loved it. Didn't have the curry paste on it, but, mate, it's a winner.
There you go. Well, there you go. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed the, just a travel around the world there with some different pizzas. What about the big debate that we always seem to have in Australia, mate? Pineapple. Where do you fall? On or off? On or off?
Whack it on there, mate. Easy. Can't go wrong. Just chuck it on there. Easy. Bit of flavour. Yum. Sweet. Lovely.
I'm with you. Love. No, mate. Love it. Love pineapple on pizza. It's got to be on the right pizza, but definitely love a bit of pineapple on the pizza.
Don't go sticking that on a buddy, like an Aussie or a tandoori chicken or something. Don't put it where it doesn't belong.
No, it's everything in fine a place, on an Aussie. JT. Fine on an Aussie.
Hawaiian, I
called
it.
Pretty much. Now, we've got heaps coming up in the show. Now, just a Ben reminder, if you haven't already, please make sure you go to our Facebook page, not the group, the page, and just subscribe to Giddy Up because everyone else can see it when you subscribe to our page, whereas the group's a private group and nothing gets out of the group, basically, which means you can say whatever you like. That's the positive. But it also means that it doesn't amplify and people don't sort of hear much about our podcast. And we're now also on YouTube, so all our podcasts are now going live on YouTube, including all our interviews, the full-length interviews and the 12 rounds. So if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, it's just Giddy Up Podcast as well.
So, JT, when people are putting in their messages and they're popping up on the screen,
yep.
they're going to pop up on YouTube and all our, like, the platforms where you see this.
Yeah, well, exactly. So this is what will be going up on YouTube. So it's your little claim to fame if you get your comment in as well. So happy days, right?
Mate, that's fancy.
And we will be streaming live on YouTube soon as well. So as much as we're streaming live on Facebook, if you're watching it now or you're listening to this on a podcast, we will also be streaming live on YouTube probably next week as well.
Or if you're in the bath, you could watch it.
Because
people like this in the bath,
really, they do. So there you go. Now we every week we like to look back a little bit of yesteryear, Donnie, and just to work a little segment we sort of call "Well, Once Upon a Time." Now it's got a stinger, and
we've got a stinger. Let's hear this.
Once upon a time.
Oh, now, Don, this is a bit of a funny one. Now, you've heard the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a little Lamb, right? Mary had a little lamb. Yeah, you know. Big hit.
Not the one that was on the pizza before, but yes.
That's right. Well, you probably didn't know this, Don, but that was actually based on a true story.
No.
Yeah, no. Really? Yep. There was a girl named Mary Sawyer. She was an 11-year-old girl. She lived in Boston. And one day, she was followed to school by a pet lamb. And in the 1860s, she helped raise money for an old church by selling wool from the lamb. And that's where the saying came from, Mary had a little lamb. It was literally based on a true story.
What are the odds that there's a fairy tale writer sitting there one day watching this lamb following Mary to school writing the lyrics?
There you
That's
go.
Bloody amazing, JT.
I know. So every time you hear that now, true story. Now, the other one, of course, is...
What else you got for me?
Hey, what the fork?
Huh?
Yeah, mate, I'm not swearing. We're talking forks. Now, did
as
you...
in the eating.
Yeah, the eating utensils. Now, they were once seen as blasphemous, Donnie. So they were first introduced in Italy back in the 11th century. That's the earliest find that they could get from forks. And basically, they're, you know, they're spaghetti twirling instruments, but they were seen as an offence to God.
Why, JT?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Don. They were basically seen as artificial hands because, you know, they were little sort of, you know, little hand things at the end. And as such, they were considered to be sacrilege because, you know, God had given us two hands and we shouldn't be inventing things to bloody help that out. So, yeah, they had a bit of a rough start to the world, the old forks.
Wow. There you go. That is really interesting, JT, because I would have always thought that the bloke come up with the fork, he'd be just hailed a hero. From day one.
No.
Instead, he's been bloody half stoned.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's probably bloody executed for it. No, who bloody knows?
Poor bloke. Oh, well, thanks anyway, Mr.
What's happening with Gen Z?
The old Gen Z, right? It's like getting blood out of stone. Hey, kids, have you got anything from a segment this week? Nah. All right, thanks, guys. I'll find it myself. Awesome. So what I came up with is that now, I don't know if you remember, but I had a bit of a misspent youth playing some video games, and one of my favourites growing up was Crash Bandicoot.
No, tell me about that one, JT. I'm usually pretty good on the games.
I don't know about that one. Crash Bandicoot, great game. They've effectively, you're basically a bandicoot, and they've just released the new Crash Bandicoot. It's called It's About Time, and it's set in the jungles. And, it's a lot of fun. But Robert Irwin has teamed up with Crash Bandicoot and actually doing a bit of a promo of it because it's all now called what they're calling green gaming. And so it's using gaming to help educate children on the benefits of, you know, of environmental, you know, friendliness and animals and all that sort of stuff. So they sort of weaved it into this in this new game. So, there you go. Crash Bandicoot, about time.
JT, that's big, mate. That is big. And I'll tell you what I like about that is those sort of things are progress. But for me, I'm an old frogger, dig dug, buddy Donkey Kong boy. So I don't know if I'll be able to get onto it, but I'm excited that the kids have taken over.
Mate, get on it. There's a shot of Irwin there with Crash Bandicoot himself. So, look out for that, mate. Should be a bit of fun. Now, our next segment, Donnie, you always like to bring us something pretty exciting around Australia. So let's get straight into it. It is our Down Under segment.
You bloody mongrel!
JT, I was having a think about this, right? And you know, our segment is all about awesome things. We've talked about the black box and stuff like that. Well, there's a lady. Her name is, let me find her name exactly. It's Dr. How do I say this, JT? Jinju.
Yep, perfect.
Is that our
perfect?
Thank you. Thank you. That's my all those years of travelling around Asia I've got. That.
Yeah, you clearly picked it up.
Well, I wanted to get it right because what she did is bloody awesome. She's come up with the world's first anti-cancer vaccine. Now, if you think about this, JT, this is a game changer. It's got a commercial name, Gardasil.
Gardasil, yep.
Gardasil, yep. Bloody Gardasil.
Close, yep.
Anyway, I don't like that name. I'm changing it, right? The vaccine protects women against 4 strains of the virus called human papillom. Give me that one, JT.
Papillomavirus. HPV, mate.
That's
there we
what
go.
We all know stick it with as, that. Right? That's yeah. And what basically, JT, this is a true story, but it is more common than not that this is a virus that can be transmitted through sex. And the unfortunate part about this, and I'm not taking the piss in any way here, is that it can lead to cancer. And the reality is that a lot of people up until this vaccination come about were found out about that, and you know, and life was not looking too good for them. So a cervical cancer is a second leading cause of cancer death in women, JT, if you get your head around that. This is why we talk to when we find these sort of things. And since 2008, a vaccine has been approved for use in more than 120 countries. And this little bloody doctor legend of ours has come from Brisbane. Medical research professor Ian Fraser and Dr. Jinju developed the world's first, JT, Brisbane.
It's a fantastic achievement, and HPV is known to cause about 3/4 of all cervical cancers. So it's obviously saving hundreds of thousands of lives all across the world, and it's a fantastic another Australian innovation.
JT, and on that, I'm going to bring one to you next week. I haven't been able to find it this week. There is a Brisbane mob that have got a rapid test for COVID.
Yeah,
I'm going to bring you that info next
week. About
that.
All right.
Talk about that. That's big time.
Right.
I'm trying to work out how to buy shares in their company. Anyway, we'll move on, JT.
Donny, life hacks. What do you got for the people this week?
It always worries me, life hacks, JT, because when I sometimes let you loose at it, you attempt to burn people's houses down by reheating pizzas. JT, if you had us stuck with the microwave, your pizza would be soggy, right?
Mm.
So we don't typically use that for reheating pizza. However, when you can get your stuff in the microwave, sometimes you've got like 2 dishes you want to put in there, 2 bowls, but we know that they don't bloody fit. They just jam up in square. This is how you do it, JT. The life hack this week, 2 bowls in the microwave, get a cup, put some water in it, right? And then put the other bowl on top of the cup, one's above the other, spin beautifully, JT, in the microwave.
But wouldn't you
they
have to have
each other?
So you'd have to put the cup in the middle of the food, though, on the bottom plate.
Yeah, but it's no, the cup just sitting there, just being a cup, right? It's not actually in the food. The food is on top of the cup. The other bowl is sitting over to the. It's only for 2 bowls, JT, not for 2 plates.
Ah, so just to raise up, so the other one goes underneath it, kind of thing. Gotcha. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah,
right.
It's like
okay.
A Tetris.
Yeah.
Oh, you will try this, and you go, Donnie, that is a bloody good life hack. Why didn't I think of that before today?
Yeah, I'm sticking with my toaster one. This is the time when we get to honour a fantastic hero. Who have we got, Donnie? We've scanned the world. Who have you got? Who's the hero this week?
Well, JT, what if I told you? You know, we talk about the bushfires being bloody bad and stuff. We've changed cameras, JT.
Oopsie. Yep, stuffed it up.
that was a good side profile pic of you. We talk about the bushfires, and of course, this year has been one that's just been just shit after shit this year for a lot of people, right?
Yes, yeah.
But, and this little young girl, her name was Reese Ostenberg. And her family were devastated to lose their home in last month's California Fresno Country Creek fires, right? Gone. House kaput. In that house was her collection, JT, over 100, if you don't mind.
Oh, no.
Of baseball cards.
No.
Been collecting them. So as a 9-year-old, she's been collected since she was 6. This is a big bloody 100 cards for a little kid.
That's
a lot.
Horrible.
Devo. horrible. The Frenzo Country Fire crew heard about it, heard about little Reese's collection.
Well, they did.
Decided to do their, well, they did their bit. They jumped on the social media, JT. They put it out to Facebook and they said, hey, Facebookers, if you know anyone who has an odd card or two that might be able to get little Reese's buddy stuck back up to, you know, a reputable level, that would be awesome. How good is this? Just so happens that San Juan Kevin Ashford saw the post on social media. He told NBC Bay Area, right? This is a news mob that we got this from.
Yep.
And he goes, I got thinking about this and I went out to my garage and I thought to myself, you know what? Instead of selling these on eBay, I'm going to donate them to the little girl.
Nice. JT. Yep, nice.
How many you reckon he had?
I don't know. Well, what she has she had 100 that she's been collecting since she was 6 and she was 9. So she's collected 130 a year. This guy's a bit older, so I don't know, a couple hundred?
JT, this bloke's been collecting since 1990 at 25,000.
Holy crap.
Boxes donated. How good's that?
Oh, good on him. He donated the whole lot to her.
The lot. He's our hero. We bloody love him.
Yeah, good job. Yep. Well done. Yep. Yeah, we love that. We love a good news story. Well done, Kevin Ashford. There you go. San Jose's Kevin Ashford. Nice, nice work.
He's all over, Jack. One day I'll learn to read.
Yeah, I know.
I'm actually doing some research.
Give you one job.
That's why I got you, the guru here.
There we go. Now, of course.
Right, what have we got? We've got a dad joke.
Mate, we have a dad joke. We know people are just hanging out for the dad joke, and we don't want to disappoint.
Dad joke of the week.
This is where I do my community service announcement. Do the kiddies need to go and get some milk?
No, we're all good. We're all good again. We're all again. This is a kid-friendly show, mate. This is all good.
Righto.
Okay, right. Yeah, ready? This is it. Just getting ready for my joke stance. Oh, we've got
frogs.
We've got everything. Oh, yeah. We love it.
Oh, my God.
There we go. Got all the effects ready to go. None of them are relative to the joke whatsoever, but I was just warming up. Okay. here we go. Hang on. Just got to click that one. There we go. We're good. All right. Dun, dun, dun. All right. So there's 4 married guys. Oh, so I should just say, I want to thank Miranda for sending this one in. Miranda's one of our great listeners that tunes in every week. Yep. She had to work tonight, unfortunately. So she'll be listening a little bit later on. But so heads up. Thanks, Miranda. So there's 4 married guys, Don, and they've all gone fishing. And after about an hour or so, the following conversation took place. So the first guy says, oh, mate, you got no idea what I had to do to be able to come out fishing this weekend. I had to promise my wife I'll paint every room in the house next weekend. And the second guy says, mate, he goes, mate, that's nothing. He goes, mate, I had to promise my wife I'd build her a new deck for the pool. Oh. The third guy's like, man, you guys have both got it easy. He goes, mate, I had to promise my wife that I'd remodel the whole bloody kitchen for her. Jeez, yeah. Anyway, they kept fishing and eventually they've gone, hang on a minute, the fourth guy, he hasn't bloody said anything. So they said to him, mate, you haven't said anything about what you had to do to come fishing this weekend, mate. What's the deal? And he goes, look, I just set my alarm for 5:30 in the morning. So he said, when it went off, I shut off the clock and I gave the wife a nudge and I just said, hey, fishing or sex? And she just said, don't forget the sunscreen.
Oh, very good, JT. That's clever.
I like that one.
That's from Miranda. Probably a true story.
Of course, the lot going on coming up next week or today, really, is the voting in the US. It's big.
Oh, yes.
So I thought it was appropriate that we had to have a Donald Trump kind of joke.
Oh,
yeah.
What do you got?
So Trumpy's walking out of the White House and he's headed towards his limo when a possible assassin steps forward and aims a gun. But there's a Secret Service agent there. He's new on the job and he shouts, Mickey Mouse! And it startles the would-be assassin and they capture him. Donald's saved. But later the Secret Service agent supervisor takes him aside and he says, mate, what in the hell made you shout Mickey Mouse? Which is probably a fair question, I would have thought. And well, he sort of blushing, the agent sort of replies, he goes, oh, God, look, I just got a bit nervous. So he goes, I meant to shout Donald Duck.
yes. Oh, very good, JT. There you go.
There you go. See, clean. No harm like done it. There.
That's good. Oh, that's good. Yep, that'll get a run.
Ah, fantastic.
The pro tip of the week.
Ah, now, Donnie, every week we get the Money Whisperer. He comes in and he gives us some pretty hot tips, mate.
Oh, JT, I tell you what, this guy is as flash as a rat with a gold tooth, mate. He's all over it. He dresses immaculate too, mate. He's got the rose or the frangipani. Like, he literally looks the goods when he comes to town, and he always delivers, mate. What's he got for us?
He's a very sweet-looking human. Now he's already got form. I don't know if you remember last week, Donnie gave everyone the heads up to get into some shares. Remember the shares he mentioned?
I bought them. A Webjet. Yes.
Webjet. Guess what I saw on the news tonight?
Oh, they haven't gone under, have they?
No, mate. They're on the way up. They've had a huge rise. So he has got formed. So
good boy.
Yeah, exactly right. So
that's bloody awesome.
So if you aren't listening when he normally speaks, here's 1 minute that I encourage you to have a listen to it.
G'day, guys. It's the Money Whisperer here. Hope you're all richer having backed the winner of the Melbourne Cup today. As expected, the Reserve Bank have dropped interest rates today by 0.25. I'd be expecting the banks to pass on the variable rates between 0.1 and 0.15, and they'll keep the rest for themselves because, hey, that's what they do. Had a few people asking about shares and how you actually buy them. The best way to buy them yourself is to open an account with your bank online. ANZ Share Trading is a really good one, and it only costs $19.90 a trade. If you go to the ANZ website, you click on the share investing in your open account there, you link your account and it's very easy. You can just log on and buy your shares, buy and sell. It's, as I said, $19.90 per trade. Very, very easy. Very easy to do. Good luck, guys.
Boom.
Mate, I'll tell you what, that's pretty good advice. There's two ways you can buy it. It's funny because I actually, that's exactly the tool I use, JT, ANZ Share Trade. And there is a minimum of $500. To do it, so it's $20 or $19.90 or whatever it was to do the trade. But to set it up, you just need literally your bank will walk you through it. It's a trading account for your E-Trade, and you're away. And of course, if you had done it 2 weeks ago, you would have bought those Webjet shares. So get on.
That's exactly right. And that was a question that Janine answered. So she said, "Thanks there, pop up on the screen." So fantastic. You got questions. We'll
good
get
on
it.
You, Janine. And yes, we will.
And I know Evan just commented on Comsec. So if you're with Combank, they have Comsec. So I have Comsec as well. So there's certainly, it's pretty easy to get into shares. It used to be quite difficult back in the day, but now it's pretty easy. So some good advice if that's something that you are looking to get into. Now, Donnie, of course, we had Hero of the Week. But you know what? The opposite of Hero is, mate,
it's a dickhead.
Yeah, it is. Dickhead of the week.
You suck.
I just love that little "you suck" at the end.
I love your thing. It's just like, hey, JT, you remember I told you a little while ago I had to get a job and I got one.
I do.
I went out on the tools for a week. I went with Dan the Man and Billy and Simon, and I was bloody putting pumps up out the bush. Some mongrel stole their trailer last week. So the dickhead forward for the week. Yep. It's had bloody fancy welders and shit in. Like, it's not stuff that the average punter would use. So the person who stole it, you're a dickhead, an absolute flog. Give it back. Hope you get caught. Get stuff.
Mate, do you know who it was?
If I knew, I don't know.
No, you don't know. And, like, how much was it all the gear worth, mate?
Oh, mate, it's more around what they can do with the gear. So I actually don't know the value of it, but it's specialised welding stuff that they – like, these pumps aren't the sort of thing that you just throw in your local pool. Like, they're literally changing lives out the bush, putting channels and things – or replacing channels with these pump stations. So they've got all the tools they need to be able to do that are in a tractor – in a trailer, and it was hocked over the long weekend. So somebody – clearly just thought, yeah, look, there's a trailer, it'll have some goods in it, and I'll probably, hock it at the pub or whatever. But pretty sure they'll get caught because they're a little bit different. And the reality is they're sitting on something they probably can't bloody use.
Yeah, it's exactly right. That's just the bloody waste, isn't it? So, dickheads. All right, well, now I want to give my dickhead of the week to I could get in trouble for this. Mate, I'm just going a whole country.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no.
Righto.
Screw this. I'm going at China.
Righto, Trumpy. What have you... It's not COVID, is it, JT?
No.
What is it?
Moved
what
are they
done?
That.
What's China done?
Well, there's a bit of trade war going on at the moment. Now, I don't know. As you would have known, Scott Morrison said, over coronavirus, said that there should be a bloody global investigation of this. In Australia, we're really pushing the case for that to find out where the origin of coronavirus was. And China weren't too happy that we put it forward and got all the other countries involved, basically, and said, come on board. So their retaliation is they've just started going, you know what, screw you, Australia. We're putting tariffs on all your products. And so they've whacked tariffs on barley, meat, etc., and making it very difficult for a lot of our big exporters here in the country. And well, what happened during the week, mate, there was tons of Australian shellfish, lobsters, that have been ordered in from China, and they basically have just been left on the tarmac. So they've just said, no, we're just not ready for this. We're going to leave on the shelf. We're not welcome. And these they normally last about 48 hours. They're in foam containers that, you know, they keep them quite cool and that sort of stuff because they're live. But they're normally good for about 48 hours before, you know, you start losing lives. And China have just said, nah, stuff it. After they're already there on the tarmac and just left them sitting on the tarmac. So literally thousands of lobsters that have been pulled out of our oceans I've just died sitting on the tarmac at a bloody Chinese airport. Piss poor effort. And you know what? You can have your trade wars and all that sort of stuff, but when you're just killing innocent animals who are just caught up in – it's just – yeah, pisses me right off, Donnie. So they are my dickhead of the week.
Well, mate, fair call. And, yep, good pickup. Lots.
Yeah. Anyway, on to happier notes.
what do you got, Jason?
Oh, just this. Now, I try and find just funny clips from around the world. Some of them have got – most of them had audio, but now that we've got the advantage of visual as well, Donnie.
Well, yes, we do for those watching it.
For those watching, it does open up some other opportunities. So given it was Halloween during the week and all the kids had lots of fun with Halloween, and we had a bit of fun at our place and, you know, got all the lights going and lasers and all sorts of fun and lollies and everyone was having a great time. So I thought I'd stick with a –
Where's the cop called to your George?
No, we don't want to talk about that on air. And so we thought I'd go with a Halloween theme, so I thought I'd just bring you this clip. This was in the US, and you'll just get a sense of what's about to happen, and enjoy.
It must have been a grave offense. What happened?
Well, you know the skit where all the like multiple clowns come out of like the tiny car, and there's like hundreds of them that come out of the tiny car. It was like never ending, and I was in the front row with my mom, my brothers, the aunts, and. I hate you!
Ah, we love a scary clown.
What a prick. Oh, that's gold, JT. That poor lady, she, oh, no. Well done. Good find, JT. I like it. I like it a lot.
We're getting towards the end of the show, Donnie, and it's the final fling. It's what sort of message or inspiration have you got for the folks today?
JT, there is so much information. We are living in a society where we've got more information than we've ever had in our life, but our greatest tool that we have is ourself. And I wanted to remind the listeners today to trust your gut. If your gut instinct says something ain't right, then listen to it. So my advice is this week, trust your gut.
Trust your gut. Great advice. And it's one of the things I think as you get older, you realise that, you know, that resilience has been built up over years and years, and your gut is normally bloody right, isn't it?
Yeah, mate, it's a coping mechanism, and it's there. It's a little warning sign for us, and it helps us, make smarter decisions. So I love it. I listen to my gut a lot, and sadly for me, my gut is getting bigger and bigger. So, but that's not quite the gut I'm talking about today.
Well, it's just making a louder and louder noise, mate, as your gut gets bigger and bigger. So now, while I'm getting the big wheel ready, I'm loading it up, Donnie, as we speak. What's coming up next week, mate? What can the good people look out for next week?
Well, JT, one thing's for sure is hopefully for sure, we never know how close it will be, but we should have some sort of outcome from the US elections. Of course, that's been played out. Remember I said there was about 1,200 people vying for that, but it's really going to come down to two main punters, to Biden and Trumpy. So one of them's going to well, get the nod most likely, and then lead the free world. So, JT,
Can I just pull you up on that? You just said it's out of Trumpy or Biden.
Mm.
What happened to our the good man that we've been backing from day one? Kanye, what's going on?
Word on the street, JT, is he might have stopped his planning and gone to do some new albums.
He really?
Forgot to lodge his... Well, no, it might be a late charge, JT. Do you know something? Because you're all over social media and late charges and stuff.
No, mate, it looks like he's done and dusted. So it is clearly going to be down to Biden and Trump. And I think whatever happens, it's going to be an interesting week in the US. And I think they are geared up for riots either way. And it's pretty scary, isn't it? In a democratic society that we live in. I just hope, poor people don't get killed. And that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, I think you... if you were to take any advice this week, it would be the Australian travel advice. Do not travel to the US. It is going to be ugly one way or the other. So hopefully to all our American listeners out there, we just hope you stay safe and get through this transition of whatever's going to be. And, of course, something that's a little bit closer to home for us, JT, it happens tomorrow night. It starts off and it is the big men going head-to-head. It's Queensland versus New South Wales, and it is the state of origin in the NRL. And I tell you what, I cannot wait, JT. I love it. The more I see AFL turning, into a more softer version of what I grew up watching, the more I tend to, lean towards being attracted to the NRL because they just bloody play a tough sport and they play it toughly. It's not about, seriously, we see some ordinary decisions in the AFL, JT, and it makes you go, what? But when you watch it in the NRL, you also say, what? How did he bloody live through that? So, mate, I can't wait. I really look forward to that. So that's on tomorrow night and next week. So,
Who are you tipping, mate? You got a tip?
Mate, Queensland. I'll only ever go Queensland. I bloody love them.
The Maroons.
Yep.
Fantastic. All right, well, there you go. Hot tip. Now, this is the big moment, mate. We're going to cross live to the wheel. It's loaded, Donnie.
We got up on the screen. I look forward.
It's loaded.
Whoa, have a look at
She's
that.
She's loaded. She's ready. About to click it. Good luck to everyone who's on the wheel.
In there.
And
Billy, Janine. There's some big names on there.
There we go.
She's away, JT. Oh, I tell you what, if you're playing at home, kids, this is the bit you look out for. Bang.
Is it going to stop? Is it going to stop? It'll tell us. There it is.
Oh, it stopped. There's going to be two very pissed off ladies watching that wheel.
Well done, Ev. Congratulations. You have cleaned up. So I think Tradie is going all the way to Thailand by the look of it. Ev is one of our listeners over there in Thailand. You'll probably be able to afford about a $5 product, mate, because the $145 will be in postage to get it to you. So.
Oh, very good. I think I can hear some swearing from the rest of the suburb tonight.
That's exactly right.
Well done, Ev. Awesome stuff.
Congratulations. Now, of course, we normally get Dan on to announce the winner of the best comment, but as I said, he's stuck in a man cave somewhere, so it's come to me.
Excellent. You make all the big decisions, JT. That's how we like it.
It's a lot of responsibility and trying to do everything and read through all the comments at the same time, but... I've picked it up. Now, this to full disclosure, this is a fellow winner, I believe. However, I actually think he might have won the tradie voucher, but it's a male. There we go. But I'm going to give it to the good man, Bill. Billy Rowlands, have a look at this. If you can't read that, put it right there. But he's decided. He's in. He's in with you, mate, for Movember. I thought, good on you. So congratulations. You are the winner of the fantastic tommym.com.au prize this week. So Daniel will get that out to you. So congratulations.
Ooh, good stuff,
Billy. I look forward to seeing your mo as it progresses, mate. You're going to have to keep the listeners updated as we go along.
I'll tell you what he could do, JT, is he could put his mo on his profile picture and get rid of that ugly-looking bloody cat picture he had on there at Geelong Footy Club. They've had some good recruiting during the week, so he'll be delighted. Mate, this has been a good show, JT.
Mate, we have absolutely enjoyed it. So thank you for everyone for tuning in. We've gone a little bit over time, but remember, just make sure you get along and subscribe when you get a chance.
giddy up.